We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
This is John Lyons right now on WEEI.
To the apron, 5 seconds to go, and Toronto will go home tied at one game apiece.
That was a tough one. Bruins lose game two to the Maple Leafs, 3-2. They had a 2-1 lead in this game after two goals in the first period. They give up the next two goals, including an Austin Matthews breakaway with 7:54 left in the third period. Ultimately lose the game, a game that Linus Ullmark was the starting goaltender. And now the Bruins are going to head to Toronto for Game 3 with this series tied at 1-1. I'm your host, John Lyons, alongside Zach Coe. Zach, how you doing tonight?
Would have been doing a lot better had the Bruins pulled that one out.
Yeah, Zach was doing better when he arrived here and they were up 2-1. Yeah, it definitely. So, and if you have any thoughts on this game, thoughts on the goalie platoon that, well, look, Linus Ullmark is not the reason you lost this game, but Swayman did win you game one. If you have any thoughts on that, Bruins going forward, and of course tonight's game, 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Feel free to call in. We'd love to hear from you. And like I said, the Bruins come into this game after game one. They win 5-1 on Saturday night. Really play not just a great game themselves, but they really outplay Toronto in that game. Toronto does not look good in game one at all. And you knew Toronto was going to punch back. And you knew you were going to get a better effort out of them than what you got in game one. And they came out, and Ullmark played pretty well early, played pretty well for most of this game, but he played pretty well early. And despite Toronto coming out with more of an edge to them, the Bruins get the first goal as a Morgan Geeky power play goal. Max Domi answers right back 14 seconds later. Pastrnak has that goal at the end of the third period. But then after that, it felt like the Leafs really upped the intensity level, and the Bruins didn't consistently match it for the rest of this game, which is something that in game one they did, came away with the win. But in game two, felt like the Bruins just didn't consistently match that Leafs level, especially late in the second period. They took penalties, which ultimately led to a John Tavares goal to tie up the game at 2-2, which was after an Austin Matthews goal was reviewed. It was overturned, so the Bruins briefly tied 2-2. They briefly go back up 2-1, but then it's 2-2 after that Tavares goal. And then Austin Matthews, with 7:54 left, has the breakaway goal that ultimately becomes the game winner.
Backs into Heinen. Heinen slings the puck deep. Riley to Lyubushkin. Domi airs it out. Matthews in, and he scores!
Yeah, and that was the Austin Matthews. Ended up being the game-winning goal. And look, you have a guy that scored 69 goals. He was quiet in game one. He gets a free breakaway. He's going to bury that. And he does, unfortunately, in the Bruins, like I said, end up losing after that 3-2. To me, though, the key moment in this game, and Jim Montgomery mentioned this post-game as well, late in the second period when the Bruins are playing pretty well. Again, I thought the Leafs upped the intensity and the Bruins didn't consistently match it, but the Bruins are playing pretty well in the second period. And then Matt Grizzlick gets called for interference with 3:08 left. I mentioned Austin Matthews has that goal taken off the board. It's after a review, but then later on, towards the end of the power play, John Tavares scores and ties it up. And I felt like at that point, the game kind of turned. So that Tavares goal, Zach.
Back to Matthews. 30 seconds to go. On the penalty end, Tavares finds the stick skied upper corner to tie the game. 2-2 with 1:34 left in the second period.
with Jack Edwards on the call there. 1:34 left in the second period. Again, I felt like that was where this game turned because the Bruins had that great goal at the end of the first period, that Pastrnak goal to put them ahead 2-1, which just absolutely sick pass by Pavel Zacha to set that up. So the Bruins had that momentum going into the first intermission, came out, Leafs started to up the intensity. Bruins sometimes matched it, but Leafs kept upping it. And then that penalty and that Tavares goal again, 1:34 left. And for Ullmark, look, he had 30 saves in this game. This of the three goals, this was the only one that, you know, maybe you could have got a save there. But the problem is, look, first of all, it's John Tavares on the power play. He did beat him blocker side. There was a partial screen to the glove side of Ullmark on that. So I don't want to crush Ullmark for not making that save. That was the only one that I looked at like, ooh, you know, really wish we could have had a save there. The Max Domi one was off a rebound, and he whacked away at it a couple times before he got it. And, of course, that Matthews breakaway. I'm not going to blame any goalie that gives up a goal to Matthews on the breakaway. So, again, that second period, especially late in the second period, that to me was where this game turned. And it's something that, you know, we're going to talk about this more later, but for the Bruins going forward, looking into game three, I think what we saw from the Leafs in game two is more of what you're going to get the rest of this series. That higher intensity level, they looked much better getting out of their own zone. In fact, the Nesson crew talked during the intermission about some of the stretch plays in the first intermission, some of the stretch plays that the Leafs were doing to get out of their own zone to set up offensive opportunities. And it's something that I think what we saw in the Leafs tonight is what we're going to see the rest of the series. Not that the Bruins can't beat them, but they're going to have to match that intensity level. They're going to have to deal with the Leafs team that is executing a little better. Still some things to take advantage of. The Leafs will still take some penalties they shouldn't take. Tyler Bertuzzi took that bad penalty late in the third period after the Matthews goal. Bruins weren't able to capitalize on the power play. That was an odd sequence with just over 6 minutes left. The Bruins ended up with a 5-on-4, but Tyler Bertuzzi knocks down Brad Marchand, slashes his knee. He gets called for a penalty. Then there's matching minors on a dust-up involving Charlie Coyle, which was weird because Coyle just got hit in the face, and instead they called matching minors. I mean, really should have been a 5-on-3, I thought, for the Bruins. But they got a 5-on-4 at the very least. Credit to the Leafs. Leafs killed it off. The Bruins, outside of that, really only had one other good opportunity the rest of the game, and that was with just under 50 seconds left. There was a scrum around the goal. But puck initially squirted through Ilya Samsonov's legs, but the Bruins weren't able to knock it home. Leafs killed off the rest of the time, and we're sitting at a 1-1 series tie here. So Austin Matthews gets the game winner. But again, I felt like the game really turned in that late second period area. And then the goaltending situation, look, it was kind of funny because the Bruins, we know, platoon has been the big story. They go with the platoon. The Leafs stick with Samsonov after the 5 goals allowed, one of them empty netter, in game one. So he allowed 4 on his own. So Samsonov does not play that well in game one. The Leafs stick with him. He responds tonight. And Linus Ullmark, look, he had 30 saves on 33 shots. So it's not like it's bad. All right, the 909 save percentage, not amazing save percentage, but the Leafs had a lot of high danger chances. Austin Matthews had multiple opportunities. Ullmark had a huge save in that third period to keep it a tie game with just under 13 minutes left. It looked like Hampus Lindholm, the shaft of his stick, got a piece of that shot, but Ullmark, I think, got a piece of it as well. So again, Ullmark made some huge saves in this game. He had a huge save on Austin Matthews earlier in the game when he was out front, basically alone at the end of their power play in the second period. And there was also, too, that one that looked like it might have crossed the line in his glove, and he got out of the net and ended up being reviewed, and that was no goal. So Linus Ullmark, look, I thought he played well tonight overall. Did he play as well as Jeremy Swayman did in game one, though? Well, 35 saves on 36 shots in game one as opposed to 30 saves on 33 shots. It's close. I'd give Swayman the slight edge in how he played in game one, but I will say, like, we got to be fair to Ullmark here. I also thought Toronto, despite having fewer shots, played a lot better tonight than what they played in game one. It felt like they were better getting out of their own zone. They were more crisp than they were in game one, just really overall offensively. They were dominant, too, on the faceoff circle. Toronto won over 54% of the draws in this game. Boston was at 45.5%. Toronto had 3 power play opportunities. They scored the 1 goal on them, but it felt like, again, yes, I thought Swayman played better in game one, but I also thought Toronto, gave Ullmark a more difficult time tonight in game two. So Bruins lose 3-2. The series is tied 1-1 in this first round as we head back. And we actually have, I see some of you on the phone line, on the text line here. I do want to sneak in some calls before our first break. We have Jason in Colorado on the goalie rotation. Jason, welcome into the program. What do you got for us?
Hey, what's up, guys? So, listen, I'm not a fan of the platoon. I think stick with the guy who's going. And I know they do their hugs at the end of the game and all that, but the whole thing is, Swayman is your goalie. Listen, Ullmark, he made some great saves tonight, and I'm not saying that the offense doesn't need to step it up, but I think the offense also needs to feed off of the defense, and if you don't have a specific guy you're putting in goal, then who do you answer to? And that's what I mean. Like, who do you answer to if you keep swapping it back and forth?
And Jason, thanks for the call. Yeah, and that's something that in game one, I thought one of the key moments in game one, so Beecher has that goal early in game one to give the Bruins a 1-0 lead. But right before that, Jeremy Swayman had a really good pad save. Bruins could have been down 1-0. Instead, they get the save, they go up ice, they get the goal, they go up 1-0, and they end up running away with the game. And I know that was early, but that felt like a key moment where they got a big save from Swayman, whereas tonight, key moment, late in the second period, they don't get the save from Ullmark. And again, I don't want to crush him for that Tavares goal. He was partially screened, and it's John Tavares wide open on the power play, okay? Not a lot of guys. Swayman may not have made that save, but he wasn't in. Ullmark was in. So now the question, I think, going forward, and we're going to talk much more about this as the program goes on, but the question going forward, do you go 1-1-1-1-1-1 every other night? You're playing a different goalie, or now that you've seen both, let's say Swayman plays really well in game three again, much like he did in game one. Do you stick with him for a couple games, especially being on the road? Just stick with him for two games in Toronto? I was somebody that, and I've talked about this before on WEEI previously, I was a fan of the 2-1-2 type rotation where one guy, in this case Swayman, whoever your top dog is, gets games one and two. Then Ullmark would get game three, Swayman games four and five, Ullmark six, Swayman seven. So you still have your top guy with games one and game seven in the first round. And then enough of a breather with games, you know, game three off and game six off. But if he is your better guy, and look, these two guys are close. Both are, you know, last year they were both top five goalies in the league. This year, at worst, they're probably both top 10 goalies in the league. So it's a good problem to have. But if one of them has the slight edge, which right now it feels like Swayman does, and look, Ullmark in his last 10 games before coming into tonight was phenomenal, right? So I'm not going to say that he's not close to being the better option, but I feel like Swayman's been a little bit better, and he's been better against Toronto so far this season. So that's something that maybe you look at that going forward, but it feels like, look, if they went with Ullmark tonight after Swayman had 35 saves on 36 shots, it feels like this is a 1-1-1-1, and we're going to get more updates from Jim Montgomery and the coaching staff as the night goes on. We'll see if we get any more info on the goalie situation and what he wants to do going forward. But again, I just think that's something that it's not the reason why they lost, but I do wonder if it's something that they'll look at. It felt like to me the biggest reason why the Bruins lost tonight was not Linus Ullmark. It was when Toronto really upped the intensity in that second period and partly in the third, Bruins didn't quite match it. And I think they can match it. I thought they had the better intensity in game one, but they didn't quite match it in tonight's game. They got outplayed, and then they took some bad penalties in this game, especially late in the second period. They give up that goal to tie. And then they give up the breakaway, you know, one bad turnover, you give up a breakaway to Austin Matthews. And also, too, credit to Ilya Samsonov. I thought he was a lot better tonight in goal for Toronto, because that was a team I thought coming in, maybe Toronto would want to make a switch at goalie. Instead, they stick with Samsonov, which I can see the logic in that, right? Like, give your guy the first two games on the road and then maybe make a switch going into game three if you need to. I don't think they will now. But they chose to stick with their guy. Bruins rotate. Ullmark gets the loss. Again, I don't want to crush him for this, and I know it's frustrating right now. This was a tough one to lose. You're up 2-1 after the first period. You're up 2-1 midway through the second period, and you end up giving up that goal late. But you do wonder, hey, if Swayman's in there, does he make that one extra save? You know, and again, that's just what you, if you're the Bruins, that's just what you open yourself up to with the rotation. I'm not saying Ullmark, again, I feel like a broken record here. Ullmark's not the reason they lost this game. But when you have a rotation and you don't win, it opens you up to that. But we got a lot more to get to. Going Going to go through some of the nitty-gritty moments of this game coming up. Would love your call, 617-779-7937. If you're leaving the Garden or if you're just at home watching and you're frustrated, you want to call in about the goalie rotation, you want to call in about the power play or the penalty kill or anything in between, feel free. But right now, it's time to trend with Zach Coe.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
We're back to John Lyons on WEEI.
Back here on WEEI, reacting to the Bruins 3-2 Game 2 loss to the Toronto Maple Leafs. The series is now tied 1-1 as the teams head back to Toronto for Game 3. Got a couple other key moments of this game I want to get to. I mentioned that late second period when Tavares had that power play goal. I did not mention that Andrew Peak injury I thought was really important. That's a guy who would have been out there on the penalty kill. The Bruins had to play with five defensemen for the rest of the game after he got hit. Looked like on the hand wrist area with a puck. So that, to me, I think that's one of those sneaky injuries to monitor. It's a guy they're going to want out there for Game 3 as well. We have a producer, Zach Coe. And Zach's a big Bruins guy too. Zach, how you feeling tonight?
Not great. Obviously, we mentioned it, pretty frustrating loss. I think the biggest issue to me was the Bruins getting hemmed into their own defensive zone. It seemed like they didn't really have any purpose with the puck when they got it in their defensive zone, just firing it around the boards rather than looking up, looking to make a pass to get a clean exit into the neutral zone. So to me, that was the biggest thing.
Yeah, it felt like, you know, like I was saying earlier, when the Leafs upped the intensity a little bit, the Bruins sometimes matched it, but they didn't consistently match it, Zach. Whereas Game 1, it felt like the Bruins set the tone for pretty much the entire 60 minutes.
Yeah, I think that's part of the whole getting hemmed in thing. The forecheck for the Leafs was really good. It seemed like everywhere they turned in the defensive zone, there was a Leaf there ready to pressure them on the puck. And I think maybe they just sped things up a little bit too much. I know Montgomery, over the course of the last couple weeks, months, has said we need to be more purposeful with the puck, and I just don't think that they have that tonight.
Yeah, and one thing too, Bridget Prue, who's our Bruins reporter down at the Garden, she has some from Montgomery. He's quoted, and you can follow her at Bridget Prue on Twitter. On the Olmark playing in Game 2, no second guesses. He was terrific. He made multiple big-time saves. So seems like Montgomery is pretty firm in his belief that the goalie rotation is a good thing, and it's nothing to do with why they lost. So found that one interesting there. We do have a couple calls on the line here. I see you. We got some people on the text line as well coming in. Let's start with Matt from the Garden on the Bruins. Matt, welcome in. What do you got?
How we doing?
Not too bad.
Listen, you know, I just watched that game live. First period, we were absolutely buzzing, and then we just fell flat. You know, it was almost like we found it too easy. And you can't get complacent against this team. Even if Austin Matthews is playing terrible, he's going to get one if you leave him open. And I felt a despicable performance for me.
And, Matt, I want to get – so were you at the game tonight, Matt?
Oh, I was there. I was yelling. My voice was gone.
So I did want to ask you, the atmosphere in the Garden, just watching it on TV for me, it didn't seem like it had quite the same intensity as Game 1. I know Game 1 was a Saturday night. I get it. But you mentioned the team intensity. It felt like – the whole building was just not quite up to that level of intensity. Did you feel the same way being there?
Oh, I got to agree. You know, you got people in one corner chanting, "Let's go Bruins." No one else is following. Then you got another corner. No one's in sync. No heart, no passion, no vision. Oh, despicable.
All right, Matt, thank you for the call. And Matt, I think speaks for a lot of frustrated Bruins fans out there, especially leaving TD Garden. I do want to hear from Shane on the Cape in just a second. But to Matt's point, yeah, I felt like that intensity in the whole building, not bad, but just not quite what we saw in Game 1. And I think when you have an intensity at the playoff level in Game 1 and you don't match it in Game 2 and your opponent does, can lead to some issues for you. And I think we saw that with the Bruins tonight. We have Shane on the Cape. Bruins lack of speed, Shane says. Shane, Welcome in. What do you got for us?
Hey, how we doing? Late night Lions. Gotta love it. I think, you know, Allmark, you know, was solid tonight. I think, you know, he didn't lose him the game. So Montgomery, you know, going with his platoon system, sticking to his guns, you know, didn't look too bad. But, you know, overall, it looked like Toronto, their speed on the offensive end, you know, just kind of, you know, took over the game and the intensity that they brought, you know. But at the end of the day, did you expect this, you know, to not be a back-and-forth series? Like, it's not like the Bruins are, you know, head and shoulders way better than the Maple Leafs. So, you know, I think this is going to be a long series, you know, and, you know, I think it's going to go seven. And I still give the Bees a great chance. No need to overreact. Was it not a great game? Absolutely. Was it despicable? You know, Matt, I think, had a couple of those cold ones tonight. So we'll get back to it, get back on the plane, and ship up to Toronto. Have a good night. Thanks a lot.
All right, Shane from the Cape. And hopefully we hear from Shane on the Cape Wednesday when I'm here after the Bruins and Celtics game. Always love it when Shane on the Cape calls in. And look, Shane makes a good point. I still think this series is going to go six or seven games down to the wire. I still like the Bruins, but I think his point about, you know, was anybody surprised that Toronto came out? And I don't think we should be. And I think it was easy maybe to get lulled into a little bit of a false sense of security because the Bruins outplayed the Leafs all regular season. I think they were 3-0 against them this regular season. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they were 3-0 against them.
I think it was 4, but same thing.
Yeah, so undefeated against them either way in the regular season. And then they come out in game one, and, you know, DeBrusk has two goals and an assist. Beecher has a goal. Carlo has a goal. Frederick, his first career playoff goal. Swayman, 35 saves. And it felt like the Leafs in game one, they pushed a little bit in the first couple minutes of the first period and early in the third period when they got that one goal. And other than that, the Bruins were head and shoulders above them in game one. But Shane makes a good point. Okay, the Leafs are still a really good team. Like, again, I know the Bruins outplayed them this regular season, went undefeated against them in one game one. But the Bruins won 47 games this regular season. The Leafs won 46. Like, these are two very close teams. Skill-wise, Austin, and look, hey, I love David Pastrnak. Him and Austin Matthews are essentially equals. Okay, there's nights. Austin Matthews scored 69 goals this year. So maybe Pastrnak's, you know what? Austin Matthews probably a little bit better than Pastrnak. I mean, maybe there's certain areas of the game, like maybe Pastrnak's a little bit better defensively in some spots, even though people in Boston don't like to think Pastrnak's good defensively. And he's not great, but he's, you know, gotten a lot better. But Austin Matthews is at least Pastrnak's equal, might be better. Like, the Leafs have really good players. And yes, the Bruins have the edge goaltending-wise. But again, the Leafs went deeper in the playoffs last year than the Bruins. They won one fewer games than them this year. So I still like the Bruins in six games or seven games. But I'm not shocked here that the Leafs came out with a really good effort. And you saw in game one, like, Austin Matthews missed some opportunities in game one. The Leafs as a whole just didn't look fully in sync, didn't match the Bruins' intensity. You know, I would have been surprised if they had looked like that again in game two. To me, what they did tonight, I was not surprised. I was a little surprised the Bruins only scored two goals and weren't able to win. But I wasn't surprised that the Leafs came out and played well. Really, I mean, look, I know the Bruins went into intermission up 2-1 at the end of the first period, but and Brick talked about this on the broadcast on Nesson. It felt like for a large portion of that period, the Leafs were outplaying the Bruins. It's just that the Bruins got that late goal on the awesome pass from Zacha to Pastrnak, which actually, that to me was the single best play of the game for the Bruins. So I know they lost 3-2, but want to play that now. Zacha with the just sick pass to Pastrnak for the Bruins cup 2-1 at the end of the first. Do we have it,
Zach? To McAvoy. Pastrnak scores from a marvelous pass from Zacha.
And that was David Pastrnak scoring to put the Bruins up 2-1. But like I said, it was, and Brick talked about this too. Like, yeah, okay, they're up 2-1, but it still felt like Toronto had the edge for part of that first period. Then they had the edge in this, you know, and then the second went back, but Toronto had a little bit of the edge in the second. And then late in the second and into the third, it felt like Toronto was just better. It just tonight. And again, I agree with Shane on the Cape. I still like the Bruins in this series in six or seven games. And I found it interesting. Montgomery, no regrets about the goalie rotation. And again, 30 saves for Linus Ullmark on 33 shots. He played really well. There were multiple big opportunities that, I mean, that Ullmark save midway through the first period, he had a really nice save on Austin Matthews, right? And he had other saves on Austin Matthews as well, other saves later in the game. They kept the Bruins in the game, and he kept it 2-2. So, again, I don't look at this as the reason they lost. I do think Swayman played a little bit better in Game 1. I'm really interested to see how Swayman comes out in Game 3 now, because he had a night off, which, again, they've been doing all along. He had a night off. Now they're going to Toronto. The Leafs are feeling good about themselves, probably better about themselves than at any point than they did in Game 1. So now Matthews and company are going to come out. How does Swayman respond to that? Because last year, look, we didn't see Swayman last year until Game 7, which was a tough spot. And I thought in Game 7 last year, Swayman played pretty well. They didn't win, I know, but I thought he played, considering the spot he was put in, I thought he played reasonably well. Now we're seeing him put in another tough spot, this time on the road. I'm really interested to see how Swayman responds that night off. Now you're in a tough spot on the road, something to keep an eye on going forward. We do have Shukri from Philadelphia on the line. He wants to talk about the Maple Leafs in this game. Shukri, welcome to the program. How are you?
What's going on, man? How are you doing? It's good to be on with you always.
Oh, it's always a pleasure talking to you, Shukri.
Listen, the way I look at this game is this is a game in which that the Bruins had their opportunity. They had a 2-1 lead in this game. And the thing that bothered me is that when you take your foot off the gas in the playoffs, you get burned. And that's exactly what happened. And then not to mention the self-inflicted wounds in this game. Let's start with the too many men on the ice call, and then as well as like the interference call, and in which that I just thought that the Bruins in this game, it wasn't the fact that the Leafs they got lucky. I thought that the Leafs took advantage of the opportunities. They Austin Matthews finally broke through, but the biggest issue that I have is the mental lapses that the Bruins had in this game. And this has been a season-long issue in which that I just think that if they're not careful and if they don't get it rectified for the remainder of this series, they're going to be the ones that ends up going home, because like a team like Toronto, in which that they know what it's like to have won a playoff series now, and if you give a team life in which that they didn't have to have much life at least halfway through the game, you give them that kind of confidence, that absolutely could potentially change things for the Bruins, and that's a very dangerous game that they're playing.
Yeah, Shukri, thanks for the call. And it's an interesting point about the mental side of the game, because Max Domi, who had the second goal for Toronto, he was a guy that Toronto and their coaching staff were unhappy with after Game 1. He made several mental errors that led to Bruins goals in Game 1. He comes out and plays much better in Game 2. Of course, he has the goal 14 seconds after Morgan Geekie does tie the game at 1-1 in the first. But yeah, it felt like some of the little mental errors are what hurt the Bruins tonight, as opposed to in Game 1, it was the Leafs. I mentioned that Tavares goal late in the second period to me is the real turning point. And the Bruins had, multiple too many men on the ice penalties in this game? That goal was off a Grizzlick interference penalty. But Bruins, multiple too many men on the ice penalties, other penalty, that interference penalty. So they go to the penalty box, can't get the puck out of the zone. Tavares scores 2-2. Then you have a turnover leading to an Austin Matthews breakaway. I mean, anytime you turn the puck over to Austin Matthews, you might as well put one more goal on the scoreboard, because that dude's 69 goals, 69 goals. Dude's a killer, right? So to me, yeah, it was some of those mental errors that killed the Leafs in Game 1. They relatively cleaned up. I thought the Bertuzzi penalty late was a really big mental error by the Leafs. But on the whole, I thought the Leafs made fewer mental errors than the Bruins tonight. And that was the biggest story of the game. Zach, what'd you think?
I mean, yeah, you said it. I know I mentioned it. I'm going to harp on the play in the defensive zone pretty much all night, because I think that was the biggest weakness that the Bruins had. They just repeatedly turned the puck over right back to the Maple Leafs. And I mean, you mentioned it, giving them so many opportunities on the power play. That Toronto team and that Toronto power play is just way, way, way too dangerous to give them that many opportunities.
Yeah, and that's a good point, right? That's a power play that's loaded with talent there. And there were two things. One, you said, like, getting the puck out of your own zone. This is something we've been talking about for a year now, Seth. Like, when they lost to the Florida Panthers last year, that killed them in their losses. They could not get the puck out of their own zone. It killed them in all four of their losses to the Panthers, getting the puck out of their own zone. And it, again, in Game 1, it didn't bite them. Felt like tonight it kind of did.
Yeah, and that's something that Andrew Raycroft, when he was on Gresham Fourier previewing the series, said that he thought that's one thing that they would have learned from last year, that sometimes the easiest play is just getting the puck out of the zone and living to fight another day, and they just didn't do that at all tonight.
Yeah, and another thing, and credit to Jack Edwards and Andy Berkeley, they've been talking about this all season, is how the Bruins play in their shifts right after goals. And it's something that I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it feels like the Bruins have given up more goals than anyone else in the 2 minutes following a goal of their own. They've had trouble doing that, and it happened again tonight. Geeky scores. You go up 1-0. Marchand has the assist. And by the way, Coyle fans on a shot. Jake DeBrusk, who's been great this series so far, keeps the puck in the zone. That's not going to show up on the stat sheet. DeBrusk keeps the puck in the zone. Marchand then has the assist to Morgan Geeky. But then 14 seconds later, next shift, Max Domi has a goal. And then if you want that Tavares goal I keep mentioning, Matthews scores what looks like a tying goal. It's reviewed. He has a high stick, so it's waved off. So it's not exactly a shift right after a goal, but it's a shift after an almost goal slash review. And then Tavares scores, and it's 2-2. And it feels like that's something the Bruins have been really inconsistent with, Zach, going back to this time last year.
Yeah, and I think that's we talked about the intensity in the Garden and the feeling around the crowd. If they score on that power play, Geeky puts one in, they go up 1-0, the building is buzzing, and then 13 seconds later, they just immediately take all the air out of it.
Yeah, and that was something that the other night, right? Like, so you go back to game one, they get that big save from Swayman, Beecher goes down on the feed from Boquist and scores, you're up 1-0. After, you know, it's a good save to set up a rush, to set up a goal, Garden explodes, and the Bruins just never look back from there. Tonight, they get the, and it really felt after that first goal, you're like, oh, if they can just stack one more on top of this, they're going to be in business here, and they're going to win this game. And then for Max, and of all people too, Max Domi, who had mental errors, and this was a great goal by Domi, by the way. I mean, this was a rebound out in front. He had to stuff at it multiple times, coming off multiple mental errors in game one, teammates, coach unhappy with him after game one. For him to get that goal too, I think was extra important, because now this isn't just the guy getting under the Bruins' skin in game one and making some mistakes. It's the guy who's getting under their skin. Oh, but now he has a goal. And I felt like that really made a big difference. So just to summarize here, Geeky has the goal, 1-0, 14 seconds later, Domi scores. And then the Bruins, with just under 8 seconds left, 7.8 seconds, Pastrnak has that goal on the sick feed from Zacha to go up 2-1. And at this point, you're going into the locker room thinking, all right, yeah, they didn't play great in the first period, but they're up 2-1, and then they come out in the second period, and they just don't fully match the intensity of the Maple Leafs, right? Like, I felt like early in that second period, their fourth line had some good shifts. Heinen had a good chance with 12 and a half minutes left in the second period, but it felt like that was a little bit sporadic, and they weren't matching it fully with Toronto. So Ullmark had that awesome sprawling save off the deflection in the second period as well. Another great save at the end of a Toronto power play that got reviewed and confirmed as being no goal. But then again, another penalty after that. Tavares scores. And then in this third period, again, I think this Andrew Peak injury, this is something to monitor, because he's a guy that on that Tavares goal, he probably would have been on the ice instead of, I think, Shattenkirk was the one out there in his place. So he's probably on the ice instead of Shattenkirk, which gives you a better option on the penalty kill. He not only is not on the ice at the end of the second period, does not come out for the third period. It looked to be like a hand wrist issue. He took a puck off that area. So Peak not out there. You're playing with five defensemen for the entirety of the third period. And I want to see, what's his status for game three? If this is a serious wrist or hand injury and he has to miss game three, potentially game four, I mean, this is one of your better penalty killers. I know he was an under-the-radar trade deadline acquisition, but they've put him on the penalty kill a bunch since they got him. He's played well. Again, he would have been out there tonight in that penalty kill situation. And it's funny, in that third period, so he doesn't come out for it. The Leafs have pretty good intensity, but Marchand has a great chance early in the third period. The Leafs get a save from Ilya Samsonov. It goes to 4-on-4 with 16:27 left. That doesn't really produce much of anything. Then Ullmark has the awesome save, which I think Lindholm helped him out with just under 13 minutes left. And then, of course, six minutes later, Matthews has that breakaway goal with 7:54 left in the third, and that's really all she wrote. I mean, the Bruins, again, that power play they had late with 6:03 left, I thought it was a bad call on Cole. I thought the Bruins should have had a 5-on-3 there, but they really generated next to nothing on that 5-on-4 power play. I mean, there was no real super high danger chances where they had a bunch of opportunities to score, unfortunately, in that mode. And then when they pulled the goalie and they went 6-on-5, they did have the really good chance with under a minute left where they were whacking around at it. Puck actually initially got through Samsonov. Bruins weren't able to push it into the net, though. And that was really the only main chance they got there late when it was 6-on-5. So Bruins, again, 3-2 losers. This series is tied at 1. We do have a bunch of other NHL action. We are hopefully going to hear from Bridget Prue at some point in the 11 o'clock hour. She was at the Garden as well. If you have any thoughts on this game, thoughts on the goalie rotation, 617-779-7937. We'd love to hear from you. We're going to go to break now and then come back and take a look at some of the other games that were going on tonight in the NHL.
We're back to John Lyons on WEEI.
Back here on WEEI, a little Bruins post-game action. I'm your host, John Lyons. We have Zach Coe producing for us. We're going to take a quick look around the NHL. We do have sound from Linus Ullmark and waiting on Coach Jim Montgomery as well. We're going to get to that in our next hour. Also hoping to have Bridget Prue call in if she finishes up her work at the Garden in time. Did want to follow up on one thing. The John Tavares goal, which, in my opinion, was the key turning point in this game on the power play.
Back to Matthews. 30 seconds to go. On the penalty end, Tavares finds the stick side upper corner.
And the reason we play that again is because Andrew Peak, not on the ice for that. He was injured. Jim Montgomery just said a few minutes ago after the game he does not have an update yet. Should have an update tomorrow, and he said, I thought our 5D gave us everything they could. I thought our forwards needed to take over the game in the third period. So I thought in that moment, the Andrew Peak injury was obviously hurt the Bruins quite a bit. But Montgomery seems to think the forwards did not bring enough intensity, especially once that injury happened. Do you want to go quickly around the NHL here? Because we got a wild slate of playoff games over the past couple days. Tonight, the Hurricanes beat the Islanders 5-3. Islanders are up 3-1 heading into the third period. The Hurricanes have 4 goals in the third period. They lead the series now 2-0. Carolina again over the Islanders 5-3 on the back of 4 goals in the third period. And I think they had 5 different goal scorers of their 5 goals. So Carolina, pretty impressive win for them against the Islanders. Again, they go up 2-0. Vegas Golden Knights are in progress starting the second period. They are up 3-2 over the Dallas Stars. That is game 1 of that series. Bruce Cassidy and the defending Stanley Cup champion Vegas Golden Knights up 3-2 over the Dallas Stars in game 1. Another game 1 going on right now. The Edmonton Oilers have a 2-0 lead over the LA Kings. That is still in the first period, and the Oilers are on a power play. So Oilers up 2-0 so far in the first period of this one. Goal scorers for Edmonton. Zach Hyman, old friend, is one of those goal scorers. So they're up 2-0. Games from last night, Panthers beat the Lightning 3-2. They go up 1-0 in their first round series. Rangers 4-1 over the Capitals. They're up 1-0. Jets and Avalanche played the wildest game of the season, a 7-6 win for the Jets over the Avalanche. Both teams scored 3 goals in the first and 3 goals in the third period, with the Jets getting an extra one in the second period. So 7-6, Winnipeg goes up 1-0 on the Avalanche in that series. And the Canucks beat the Predators 4-2 in their first game. They are up 1-0. So we've had some wild scores, wild results in the playoffs so far. Zach, though, it feels like this series, the Bruins and the Maple Leafs, like one of the more evenly matched. Again, I know the Bruins have won up until tonight every time they played the Maple Leafs this year. But again, Bruins with 47 wins, Maple Leafs with 46. Felt like a relatively evenly matched series coming in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you mentioned the wild game yesterday between Winnipeg and Colorado, but that series and then the Bruins series I thought were going to be the two best series in the first round. And so far, I mean, obviously it's disappointing for Bruins fans, but I don't think from a National League perspective, like, those series have disappointed at all.
No, and again, I think this series coming in, and we had callers say it, nobody, like, to think the Bruins, what we saw in game one, we were just going to get for four straight games and they're going to sweep, I just think is unrealistic. Bruins dominate game one. They don't quite match the intensity in game two. Zach, I do want to get you this goalie rotation. So it's something they've done all year. And again, both goalies have played well. Swayman had 35 saves on 36 shots in game one. Ullmark has 30 saves on 33 shots in game two. So Swayman outplays him a little bit, but they both still play really well. I mean, going into game three, I'm assuming you're back with Swayman.
Yeah, I'm back with Swayman, but I've become a proponent of the rotation. I think that the biggest issue that they made last year was that they went with the rotation all year and then got away from it in the playoffs. And you can say it's unconventional, and usually teams go with one guy for the entire playoff run, but how many teams have ever had, you said it, two top 10 goalies on their roster at the same time?
Yeah, and exactly. And you look back to last year, I think the biggest criticism you could give of Montgomery is why he didn't go to Swayman in game five or six. Right, game five, you come home, you're up 3-1. Easy spot to put in Swayman, give Ullmark the night off. Even if Swayman hadn't have won, you would have had Ullmark for game six and seven. And then in game six, especially in the second half of that game, when Ullmark was clearly hobbled, to not put Swayman in. So now he's being more proactive. These guys have both functioned better in a rotation, so I get it. But my question, Zach, is, okay, we've had a rotation the first two games. We're probably back to Swayman in game three. What if Swayman is lights out again in Toronto in game three? Do you give him game four and Ullmark game five, or do you just keep with the every other?
Well, I think that's why Montgomery, every time he's asked about the goalie situation in the playoffs, has left the Cavat in, that he's going to use play and results to determine where he goes. So I think maybe if Swayman puts together another performance like he did in game one, then maybe he gets game four too, and then you go back to Ullmark game five and then go from there. But I don't think they're really going to stray too far away from this rotation.
Is it Cavat or Caveat?
Maybe Caveat.
I don't know if I've been saying it wrong for 30 years. Now you have me nervous. I always say Caveat.
I've said both before. I don't know why I went with Cavat there.
All right, well,
Caveat,
you know what? The Cavat slash Caveat. You're right, though. Let's also say the other side of this. Let's say Swayman goes out in game three and gives up four goals, and two of them are soft goals, and then Ullmark goes in game four and is lights out. Then do you give Ullmark game five? That's why, to me, like, saying it's a platoon is fine. A platoon doesn't mean you have to guarantee every other. It can be two games for one guy, one game for the next guy, then back to the other guy for one. Then like you can kind of bounce. Like there's a difference between like Tim Thomas in 2011 playing like what every single game except one, or every single game, you know, or Tuukka Rask in 2019 playing every single game. Sure, that's great if your goalie is that good and you have one. But now you have two goalies that are great. They function better in a rotation system. I mean, they basically split the regular season evenly this year. I was looking up their road numbers earlier. I think one of them, because I was curious what they might do in game three, Ullmark has 21 road games, Swayman has 22. Like, they've essentially split it almost even. So if they function that well, and again, it's not like Swayman came out tonight and gave up five goals and three of them were bad. He gave up three goals. And even that Tavares one, that's the only one that I'm like, oh, maybe I would have liked to save there. But even that, I mean, look, it's Tavares all alone on the power play, and Ullmark was partially screened. Like, it's tough for me to get on him for that. You know, and again, the other caveat, if you will, is the Maple Leafs, Zach, and you know this, they were a lot better tonight than they were in game one. So, yeah, I know Ullmark faced fewer shots, and I don't have the high danger chance numbers in front of me because, you know, why would the NHL release those numbers on time for me to look at? But they had more chances in this game than they had in game one. I mean, at one point in the first period, despite the Bruins, I think at this point it was 1-1, the Leafs had 10 scoring chances to the Bruins 3. Like, so the Leafs were better tonight, and Ullmark still played well. So, again, I'm fine with sticking with the rotation. I will say, if Swayman is lights out again in game three, I would consider giving him game four. But I'd still give Ullmark game five, right? Like, I'm not just going away from Ullmark at this point. So I think it's something that we're going to talk a lot about the next couple of days.
Yeah, and that, I mean, worst case scenario tonight, if you're Jim Montgomery and you're tired of answering questions about who's going to start in goal, was losing tonight, because now that conversation is only going to get louder.
Oh, yeah, it's going to get louder on these airwaves, especially. And the good news, Zach, still have a whole nother hour to talk about this. If you are coming home from the Garden like Matt, who called earlier, or you were just at home watching like Shane from the Cape earlier, feel free to call us and talk about the goalie rotation, the Bruins tonight, Jim Montgomery, Game 3 going forward, or Game 2 tonight, 617-779-7937. We are going to hear from Linus Olmark and Jim Montgomery coming up, but right now we're going to take a quick break.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.